More than 500 kilometres east of Darwin lives a small Indigenous community isolated from the rest of Australia. It's called Ramanginning. There's just two schools, one convenience store and a significant shortage of houses for the 1,000 people who live there. A new documentary called Another Country looks at how the way of life in Ramanginning was overthrown by white settlement. It's told by legendary Indigenous actor who was born there, David Gulpilil. He says the clash of culture is because of three things: money, rubbish and time. Director of Another Country, Molly Reynolds, spoke with The Wire's Jake Morecambe about filming everyday life in Ramanginning and what it was like working with David Gulpilil himself.
Look, David, you know, he's brilliant, he's charismatic, he's mercurial, you know, and on a bad day, there is no one more badly behaved than Mr. David Gulpilil. But he's a wonderful storyteller. He's able to tell the story so well because he's jammed between two cultures. He doesn't have an easy relationship with his you know, friends and family within Ramo because he has spent so much time in white culture. So with the mob up there, there's a strong sense of obligation. And obligation is if someone asks you for something, you're obliged to give it. So David in Ramanginning, they'll say to him, "Yo, David, you know, give us some rupiah." And David will say, "I don't have any rupiah." And they'll say, "But you're in Crocodile Dundee. You know, we know that Paul Hogan and Mel Gibson, they earn millions of dollars. So either you're earning millions of dollars and you're not sharing it, or you didn't earn millions of dollars and you're a stupid black fella for being ripped off by those white bastards." So he's been caught between the two worlds, and so he can speak to it really well, I think, in the documentary, saying, you know, "You white fellas, you know, this is the way it is for us." And he can sort of speak to the audience because he's straddling both cultures.
This film is about what happened to my culture when it was interrupted by your culture.
He says something really lovely about, we don't see rubbish, we don't understand it. And two, in the same way with money, can you extrapolate on what those incompatibilities are?
When it comes to something like rubbish, David's point is that until 40 or 50 years ago, you know, whatever they needed came from the bush. So when something was, you know, was tossed over their shoulder from a feed or from the pandana mats that was woven so that, you know, everyone could sit on them, it would just disintegrate into the bush. Now, when they throw a Coca-Cola bottle over their shoulder, it's not just going to disappear. And so often I think the observation about enough Indigenous communities is, you know, look at the way they treat their environment. It's just full of rubbish. But no one really sees it as rubbish because they don't understand what it is, you know, for things not to just disappear into the environment. And I think they're just beginning to appreciate that. But us white fellas, we just look and kind of go, "Oh my God, you know, they don't care. They just litter everywhere." And that's not the case.
And so in the same with just the concept of money, and that they are provided money, and then the only place they really have to spend it is that one store.
Yep.
And that store only opens at a certain time of the day and then gets restocked only by one arrival of stock to be put in the shop. So there's no freedom for them to use that money elsewhere.
Well, a lot of the money is spent often playing cards. It's also spent, there's enough smoking of marijuana there. And let me tell you, the dealers that live on the outskirts of town make a small bloody fortune. The price that everybody's prepared to pay for everything. And a really good example is that I heard from a local policeman up there that your regular bottle of Smirnoff vodka, what would that be, $40?
Around that, I think.
Yeah, people pay up to $800 for it. Now,
wow.
It's not the desperation and the addiction to alcohol or anything else like that. It's just that money has no value. And there's also the notion of obligation, where if someone asks you for something, you give it. Because, again, as you know, as little as a generation ago, you know, everyone's sitting around a campfire eating kangaroo, and someone says, you know, "Can I have some of that kangaroo?" You say, "Yes, of course." You know, it's the obligation. obligation to share, because next time they have the kangaroo, you can get fed. So money doesn't serve any real purpose or have any value at all. So it's like, oh, you got vodka, I want some. And they say, well, it doesn't matter how much is given, just that some is given, because everyone's trying to get used to the concept of commerce and money. Yeah.
And it's a governmental installment on the town as well. The alcohol is banned.
Yeah. I think David makes really good point in the doco there as well, because what happens is things are banned in the community thanks to intervention that are not banned anywhere else. You've got alcohol, porn, there's no discrimination there, though you could argue that there should be. And so what happens if there's any transgressions, or even, for example, up there, there's no service station. So, well, there is one, but you can, there's just a mechanic in a room, and you can imagine the demands that are put on him. So if you're driving an unregistered vehicle because you can't get it registered, or because you're not literate and you don't know how to go about getting a license, then, you know, when the police pull you up, there's now a police presence because due to intervention. What happens is the magistrate comes and these young men are fined, and they probably build up fines, and then they go to jail for things that most other Australians wouldn't go to jail for, you know, and that's quite simply wrong.
Director of Another Country, Molly Reynolds, speaking with Jake Morecambe. Another Country is screening as part of the Antenna Documentary Film Festival in Sydney.